This is the U105 phone-in. I want to speak to the representative of the Police Federation. I want to speak to Mark Lindsay, the Police Federation of NI. Mark's available to speak to us. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
A very worrying weekend after the ambush on the police, a booby trap ambush that could have ended with officers killed when they went to investigate an explosion in the Craigavon area. And obviously people worried and concerned about the safety of the police and individual officers, but also the knock-on effect that the impact this has on the police doing their work generally. They're likely to be slow to respond now on the back of this. Is that a fair comment?
Well, I think that what we've seen over the last number of years is police responding to calls in a very considered manner. The likes of this sort of call is very typical of what we're trying to avoid, is police being lured into an area where they will be subject either to a terrorist attack or whether it be stoning of police vehicles or petrol bombing of police vehicles. So yes, it's concerning for us that once again we see another attack on police officers falling on from the shooting attack in Derry, in which Lira McKee was murdered, which was an attack on police, and the recent undercar booby trap.
What's behind this? Obviously, primarily, it's to try and kill a police officer, but is there also a motivation to protect those who are involved in criminal activity? For example, the people who are dealing drugs or the people who are robbing ATMs, that if they are carrying out a major criminal challenge, that the police, if they are called, will be slow to arrive?
No, I think that's probably a wee bit too sophisticated for these people. I think you're right in your first assessment there, that it's an attempt to kill police officers. We have seen that whenever the police are responding to calls, they are considered, and that means that the sophistication, if you like, of the trap that's laid for them has to be more. This is just another example of that. We've seen it through the previous troubles where police officers were lured into sophisticated traps, which seem like relatively normal calls, only to be caught with a booby trap bomb or something similar. So that is the level of sophistication we're looking at, but basically trying to kill a police officer.
If you call a police officer in Rathfrieland, are you more likely to get an immediate response than you would be in the Craigan or in Craigavon?
No, I think everything is looked at in the round. You know, there's a very sophisticated and, you know, if you like, hands-on approach to these calls. Police officers want to get there quickly. They want to come. That's why we're on the ground. We're there to serve people. So obviously we will look at everything, and that will be used through measurement of the threat at the time or maybe other intelligence that's in the system. So certainly, you know, we wouldn't want to see response time slowed up, but ultimately, the safety of our officers has to come first.
So what is the procedure? I'm in difficulty. I ring 999. Immediately, the phone's answered. Someone takes the description of my trauma. What happens next?
Well, if there's intelligence system to say that they want to lure police into a certain area where you are, well, then that will obviously be considered, and we'll look at other areas to see how genuine your call is. You know, if there's been a string of calls into the same sort of area with the same sort of hoax calls where police are being lured in for attack, well then, you know, it will be considered more carefully. But ultimately, I think it's worth noting that police do respond. You know, in the vast majority of cases, they respond as quickly as resources will let them. And I think while there's the terrorist threat is one thing, I think the lack of resourcing and the lack of numbers is another major contributory factor to police just not being able to respond as quickly as they could or should.
But people eventually will be critical of the police. If, for example, someone dies as a result of them not turning up, or someone escapes who could easily have been caught as a result of them not turning up, it will be forgotten. This booby trap will be forgotten about relatively soon.
Yes, you know, those are situations that we hope will never happen, you know, but I think, you know, the police are always there, they're open to scrutiny, they're open to criticism, if you like, but I think, you know, as long as we can stand over every decision that is made, which we can do, well then I think, you know, people will just, you know, not necessarily just have to accept it, but that's a fact of life. As I said earlier, the resourcing is probably as big a threat to police turning up quickly or delayed as the terrorist threat.
So you feel if we had more officers, they would arrive more quickly, even if there was the threat?
No, well, the threat is assessed. They sort of sit as two separate things. Obviously, the threat is a big part of why we consider booked response times and when we would ever attend a call. However, it makes common sense that if you have officers spread very thinly, that if they have to travel 25, 30 miles to get from one call to another, it is going to take a bit longer for more routine calls.
How worried are your members at the moment? How vulnerable do they feel? Do they believe as individual officers that there's a group of people who are absolutely focused on killing one of their colleagues?
Yes, I think we're all aware of that at the moment. You know, we've seen the variation in the attack methodology over the past few months, from the likes of the Cregavin incident to the undercar booby trap at Shandon Golf Club, and again the gun attack, as I mentioned earlier, in the Cregan. These are all attacks which are designed primarily to kill police officers. So officers at the moment, yes, they are being very vigilant. They are in a high state of alert. And of course, they wouldn't be human if they weren't concerned that the attack will be on them.
And do they feel as vulnerable off-duty, the way the RUC officers felt vulnerable? We remember reporting many times on them being killed as they answered the door or as they arrived at their own home. Does the modern-day officer feel vulnerable in his own front garden? Or her own front garden?
Yeah, well, I think it's a case of certainly, we would encourage, and I know the vast majority of police officers do keep their own personal security under constant review, whether that's on or off duty. So certainly that is the unique state of policing in Northern Ireland, is that the severe terrorist threat exists both on and off duty. So certainly, we would all need to be keeping up our levels of vigilance just to make sure that we don't become that next victim or targeted for attack when off duty.
Okay. Mark, thank you very much. Mark Lindsay, the Police Federation of Northern Ireland's spokesperson. And it's just a reminder of where we are in 2019.